Chazal say, "Kol hatchalot kashot." All beginnings are fraught with difficulty. In Shum Safek, that Pashas Bereshis, which really would require nothing less than several years of study, there's no question that that statement has clear reference to this passage. Ramban, in the Akdama, which is one of the most classic Rambans of the Torah. So in the context of that Akdama, the Bereshis, the Ramban writes, there's no way that we can understand Bereshis by reading the literal text. Lo yivoda min amikros. Impossible to ferret out the text of the Ramban, the text of the Torah of the Ramban says by simply reading the text. There's an enormous number of profound mysteries that are here, one that really satisfies one's metaphysical curiosity. And that's essentially, as I said, embedded in Kol HaTchalot Kashot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow was able to achieve this act of Bria in a very facile kind of way. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, in a series of ineffable utterances. So one of the more significant elements, which I think is critical, I want to begin talking about it, and hopefully we can perhaps, if time permits, have expatiate on the matter a bit more. There are a number of fundamental moral and ethical principles that can be derived from the story of creation. Well, this is embedded in the Rishonim. The two Rishonim that you must learn, besides Rashi. Rashi requires, I would say, the same amount of time that I spoke about earlier, but two other Rishonim that are really, to my mind, indispensable for understanding the Parsha of Bereishis, as the Ramban and the Rabbeinu B'chai al Torah. Lay down the Yesod Hadas, the fundamental principles of our faith. Let's maybe try to articulate a number of them. The first, which is probably the most significant, the most important of all the principles, is the notion that the Ribbono Shel Olam juridically and judicially is the Baal Bayit of the entire world. He's the owner, he's the master of the universe. And that's reflected in the first Rashi. We'll begin with that. The comment with Rashi, amazing Rashi, quotes his father, Amar Yitzchak, the Torah should be gone, the first mitzvah, which is found in Parshas Bo, HaKol Yisrael Achem Rosh Chodashim, the Ramban in Bo, also articulates the notion that Nisan is the Chedesh HaGeulah. Around the beginning of Rosh Hashanah also comments in contrast, maybe Lahavdil will contrast, let's say, when does the tax year begin? Tax year begins January, as opposed to our perspective on the matter. Then that would be what would be the analogy to January, perhaps Chedesh Tishrei. On the other hand, Chedesh Nisan, Machlok is Tanoim when exactly the world was created, but aside from that, Ramban understands that our history essentially is a history which is not based on Teva. That's what the Ram writes of Rosh Hashanah, first Ram, the beginning of the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, but rather based on Lamala Teva. That's what Chedesh Nisan represents, Lamala Midrach HaTeva. Essentially, our entire existence is founded on this. Ramban, the end of Parshas Bo, Kayadua Lachem, the Ramban speaks about two types of Nisan, two genres of Nisan, one on Nisan the historian, one on Nisan Guyim, and the Ramban notes over there that clearly the one that's more significant are not the Nisan Guyim, the ones that are overt miracles, Lamal Midrach HaTeva, where Hashem has to be Shodeg, Marbot HaShamayim, has to break Teva, but rather, on the Sech HaShem HaHoyim Imanu that we speak about in the Modim on a daily constant basis. So, the first you saw that Rashi comments on over here, that if the world accuses us of being imperialists, that's essentially what's happened ever since the League of Nations, the United Nations, that's all they do. We are a bunch of racists, so the response to them is the following. What do we respond? He's the Balabayas, he's the Adon HaKol, and that Yisod, of course, is maybe the most important Yisod of the entire Parsha of Bereishis. Ribbono Shel Olam is the Balabas, and Rosh Hashanah night, there's a practice that the Sfarim do it also, Ashkenazim do it, that, okay, before Kaddish, after Kaddish, but I'm a brisker, so we follow brisk. Lashem ha'aretz ulo ha'tevel v'yosheva. That more or less expresses this yisod, also in Rosh Hashanah, that the entire world belongs to Hashem Barach. And it belongs there because Kihu al Yamin Bisodah, the Al Naros, he established the earth. The Gemara says seven times in Shas, Uman Kodi Bishem Achli. Aloch is an Uman, a craftsman by virtue of his craftsmanship, is Koneh, the Kli, because of the talent that he has that he's able to bring to bear on the subject. He takes raw material and forms it into a shtender, into a table, and the like. So that's a very fundamental Yisod. Essentially, until the consigner remunerates the artisan, it belongs to the craftsman. Upon payment, then the rest of the one who commissioned the job. That's Uman Kodim Mishalach Khalid, that's Ribbono Shalom. Ribbono Shalom created a world which is absolutely majestic in nature. So that, in effect, is Yisod Aleph, that's embedded in this Rashi, embedded in the Ramban, embedded in the Bechaye, embedded Kimara, I would say, in every single Pasuk, Dafka, in the context of the Bria, in Paragalfi of Rishis. Now, the Ribbono Shalom, of course, not only did he fashion the end product, but he also fashioned the raw material. He created Chomer Yuli, hydratic matter, which I call primordial cholent. And then that primordial cholent has to be separated into its individual components. And that's exactly what happened in the course of the Bria. If you recall, undoubtedly you all recall, there's some very nice Nigunim. That's why here people recall things, Baruch Hashem. So, Kihine Kachomer Yana Yotzer. The Python says we are as clay in the hands of the potter. And this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon was acknowledged initially by Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says in Brachos that the first one to call Hashem Adon was Avraham Avinu. He said Adnut Elokim Bavayna Ki Roshena, which we shouldn't have a field day understanding that pasuk. But that Yisod is the Yisod that Hashem is the proprietor of the universe. He's the Adon HaKol. So let you thought that's the reason why Tfilah has to begin with Adon Olam and end with Adon Olam. Not Yigdal. Yigdal is somebody introduced Yigdal. Was not happy with Yigdal B'chlal. He's not the only one. The disciple was also not happy with Yigdal. So let you felt that the author did not understand Yigdal Ikram Rama. I can't go into that right now, but I'm just making a side comment. And the disciple echoes that as well. The question exactly who wrote Yigdal, there are different theories on that matter, but the Yisod HaDvarim that we're trying to explore is the fact that we establish the Adlus of Hashem Yisbarach at the very outset. Adon HaKol. And that was declared by Avraham Avinu. That Yisod emerges throughout the entire Parsha Bereishis. That's the first very significant moral principle that we have to be familiar with. There's a second, also maybe equally significant principle, which is the Gemara in Sefer Daf Yudalid, a very well-known Gemara. The Chazal tell us the Pesukim Mikisisa, Mashabin are two requests. That's how the Rambam on the Buchim, that's how the Rambam in Chumash, that's Kimar, all we should understand. Two requests on the part of Mashabin to Hashem. One was, how do I relate to Hashem is Baruch? Hashem is infinite. We are finite. Hashem is beyond. Lamalam Azman, Lamalam Amokom. I'm the present, omniscient, omnipotent. So how is it possible to connect to Hashem is Baruch? That's the first question. Second question was, show me your essence. The first question was answered affirmatively. Namely, Hashem gave us, you give me the Shavahim. That's how we connect to Hashem. As the Gemara said in Sefer Daf Yudalit, Yudal, Imitati Ode, Mahu Rachum, Apata Rachum, Mahu Chanun, Apata Chanun, Mahu Mavaki Cholin, Apata Tvaki Cholin, Mahu Menachem Avelin, Apata Menachem Avelin. And the way Rav Soloveitchik would add, Mahu Borei Olamos, Apata Dibrei Olamos, Mahu Yatsrani, Mahu Yotzer, Apatati Yotzer. He's a creator. We should also be a creator. So we have to be creative. We have to use a creative gesture. And this is in the vein of Imitatio Dei, Mahu Afato. Hashem is compassionate, Hashem is merciful. So the first request of Moshe Rabbeinu was answered affirmatively. The second one, Hashem told him, that's not possible. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved the 49th Madrega of Chochma. For the 50th, he eluded him. It's on the Ramban also in Chumash, and the Ramban on the Rukhin, and many other Rishonim interpret those two Bakoshes in a similar kind of fashion. So essentially, what the Torah is telling us here, the second very significant critical moral principle is the Imitatio Dei principle. Namely, we have to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a kind of partnership. We have to become Shutvim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maaseh Bereishis. How do we become Shutvim? We have to become miniature creators, constructively contributing to the endeavors of mankind. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, Sachat HaKubi is possible. This why is a gambler, not able to testify in the Jewish court of law, because the Gemara says, one time, He's not involved in productive enterprise. Essentially, not a criminal, but he's a parasite. He's a parasitic being. And therefore, the Torah wants us, in effect, to use the divine paradigm, the divine model of creativity. And in effect, that's the area where, of course, all of us can join forces with Hashem Yisbarach in terms of the attributes of Hashem. And that's what we're obligated to do, to follow the attributes of Hashem Yisbarach. And here we see this very clearly. Chazal Kappa, the Gemara says, the Gemara comments that first Hashem, that when Adam and Chava were in a state of Bayi Adam, Adam Ishto Arum Melayis Vashashu. So it says, Bayas Hashem Elokim, the Adam will Ishto Kosnas Thor by Abishin. That was the first act of Chesed. And then in the end, it was next time Brocha, Bayi Kurasa Vagai Beretz Moab, the other Isha Skurasa Vagai Mazen. That's also the ultimate Chesed. So we are essentially obliged to carry out this Chesed of Hashem as well. There's a famous Machlokes of Rishonim, why Hashem created the world. This is W.A.R.U.A. Machlokes, the Chachmei Hanigla, the Chachmei Hanistar. I'm bound to say that goes with the Chachmei Hanistar, so is Avinu B'chayim, so is Rav Chal, so are many other Rishonim. They follow the Chachmei Hanistar. They assume that the world is created Tema HaTov LaHeitev. Essentially, that Hashem is all Tov, Kulo Tov, and someone who's Kulo Tov feels the need to connect with others and also to go and with the cornucopia of Hatava to show beneficence for mankind. And basically, we are the beneficiaries of his largesse, of his chesed. And that's what we're obligated to do, to be Bali Chesed, just as Hashem is Bali Chesed Mufla, we're obligated to be Bali Chesed. That's Kimad, all the Rishonim, and also the Ramchal, and many others actually have this Mahalach. However, there's a second Mahalach, and also mentioned by Rishonim, based on the Navi, the Baz Shayo says that the world was created Lichvodo. Kol Amikra Bishmi, Lichvodi, Brosiv, Yitzarti, Apasisiv. That's what the Navi says. And there are three verbs used. The Ramban is the one who actually accentuates this idea. The three verbs that are found in the classification are Bora, Yotzar, and Asot. Three very, very significant words. And the Torah has, through this verbiage, the Torah has really captured the essence of how the creation process occurred. Bora, says the Ramban, Yesh Be'ayim, Ex Nihilo. Hashem created Shamayim Ba'aretz, or what he calls the Schomer Yuli. That's a Greek concept. It's not the Chiddush of the Ramban. But whatever the case is, what I call Pramon Yacholot. And now, from that Tomer Yuli, differentiation occurred, and then Hashem separated one item from the other. And that's the fourth verb that the Ramban does not single out, but it's clear from the Pesukim, the verb Havdol. Vayavdel Elokim ben Ohr ben Achusha, Vayavdel Elokim ben Amayim Hashem Tachzav Kiyah, ben Amayim Hashem Yalor Kiyah. He said that the Torah speaks about Havdol, that's the Gemara Nari Pesukim. And the question, how many Havdolos are there? And that's what we say on Tzach Shabbos. I saw this, you thought that the first Rocha Brichas HaShachar is Dafka, because that's the Kach HaMavdolah. Kach HaMavdolah is the most important concept that a human being should have. The Gemara says that the reason why Avdolah is put into Chedin Adas, the main Das, Avdolah Minayim. Yishalmi also, slightly different, but more or less the same, Yishalmi Brachas, that if a person doesn't have the ability to make discriminating distinctions, he's lacking. He's lacking terribly, probably the very essence of his humanity is no longer right now operating, and hopefully he'll be able to cultivate that. That's the whole idea of learning. When a person's involved in the Talmud Torah, the main idea of Talmud Torah is to learn how to make very significant, sometimes subtle, sometimes nuanced distinction between item A and item B. That's something that is very significant. That's what the Rishonim do. That's what they take the Bali HaTosfos. Their primary function is to, here we have a sugya, yes, the kasha with another sugya, and then mechalek between the different sugyas. That's how the Miyashid, the steer is between all the different sugyas. There's a Kach of Abdol, that's what the first bracha, Ashenos and Hasem Levin, of Ahavchim, Yom Ve'Loyla. Then we have the steer of Abdolas. Shalom Sani Goy, but no Kedushas to say at all. Shalom Sani Ovid, Lolo Ki Isha. And the Machog is the Rambam, whether on the way out, does he require another Tevila? Machog is the Rishay. And then, of course, Shalom Sani Isha. So each one is separate. Each one, everyone has their own tafkid, everyone has their own function, everyone has their own purpose in life. It's a very significant concept, and it's all based on this idea of Havdolah. The main Das, Havdolah Midayim. So that Das is required, and that's why the Gemara says that Zachar B'Kuv is possible Eidos. That's the second Yisod here, namely, Bora is Ex Nihilo, Yesh Me'ayim. Yotzar is Yesh Me'esh, the Pesuk says, Vayitza Hashem Elokim, Yasa Adam, Afor Min Adam. Vayipach Be'abu Nishmas Chayim. So the idea of Yitzira is Yesh Me'esh. There is material, and now I'm using that material, I'm fashioning it, I'm forming it, I'm a craftsman, is able to develop it, to nurture it, to cultivate it. And of course, Asiya, which is the last of the verbs that the Ramban speaks of, is essentially Magad HaPatish. Magad HaPatish is going to Rashi and Ol Shas. Rashi and Ol Shas, for instance, Magad HaPatish, where the Kli is already functional, it already has functionality, and you simply put the finishing touches on the Kli. Rashi everywhere in Shas where Rashi defined Rakam the Patash, that's how he defines. Maseh Shabbos and a few other sectors as well. I can't get into that. I once read said a whole Shia, the difference between Rakam the Patash and Boneh, most difficult, probably one of the most difficult, challenging distinctions that one has to draw between these two malachas, what exactly is Rakam the Patash, what is Boneh, that's for another occasion. But that idea of Asiya, which Ramban calls he doesn't use the term Rakam the Patash, but Asiya al Maskunto, but now it's concretized fully and fully functioning. That's the third verb. So essentially what you have here, a kind of divine assembly line that took place, and the mass of primordial raw material was distilled and assimilated, and now you have a complex bria, a beautifully symmetrical, harmonious bria that comes into being as a result of these processes of bara, yatsa, asa, hivdil, that's what I'm going to involve with din. And what's amazing...
What is the material versus to bria? It's already included.
No, bria was just this chomer yuli, what I call the cholot. That cholot, I don't know how you make cholot. I was invited to his father's fella. He makes cholot with eggs. And I was invited to another cholot a few years ago. Wow, that was a difficult moment for me. Bananas were in the cholot. I don't know if there's a lot of much to be seen when you put in the cholot, but I do know that the cholot that I'm familiar with is meat and potatoes and barley, etc. and the like. Now Hashem has separated this cholot into its component parts. That's what the series is. The series is the fashioning of each of the component parts. Okay, I can't, again, Rabbi Weiss, I'm not necessarily... I don't claim to have Ramban says, like, well, I'm a Megro, so you want to already be mine for the Megro. So I'm not able to properly answer those questions. But this is the second, let me just mention one more principle that I think is probably even more significant than that which I just spoke about now, because it said the Torah, it says the soul, the second principle. The Arts says, so, bobo. It was an amalgam. Ramban says, Tohu, Shmama, Lashon Shmama, and Bohu, the entire, every, shall we say, all the elements were in this Shmama. Bohu. That's how the Ramban terms the term Tohu, Bohu. It was all there, potentially. Now to come out, essentially, Menakoach Lapol. The first Rashi, Koach Masri, I have a lot to say on that Rashi too, but for another occasion. Whatever the case is, that you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had actualized the potential that was already in that Chomer Hiyuli, and had come to fruition, and had come to the fore. And that's essentially what we have. We have essentially, you have a potpourri of sundry materials that are available. And now the Ribbono Shel Olam has to do this kind of Abdullah that takes place. I wanted to mention the third idea, which also, to me, is probably one of the most important and significant of all the ideas that are to be found over here. My father, Shom, asked me a kasha, I don't know, probably 55 years ago, probably longer than that, more than that. I actually learned Bereshis from my father. I learned Bereshis, kasha Bereshis. It probably took us, I'm not exaggerating, 2 years. My father felt we don't learn Bereshis. The two parshas felt we don't learn. Zeis HaBracha and Bereshis. So he focused on those two. So I learned both Zeis HaBracha and Bereshis. So one of the kashas my father asked, you'll notice with reference to the entire Bria. So the Zohar says again and again, I'll read the Psukim in the really, Vayomer Elokim Yehior, let there be light. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rokia B'soch HaMoyim. And the Torah continues in that vein, Yehi Ma'oros B'kia Shamayim, let the luminous bodies appear. And Mo'oyu. And continuing on our merry way, there is a lot of Yehi, with one exception. Exception is obvious. Na'aseh Odom B'tzalmeinu Kidusein. And the answer to this question is fairly obvious. I think it doesn't require any kind of abstruse or any kind of profound understanding. The distinction between the Bria, of course, is Marabu Masecha Hashem. I don't know if you read, that's what we used to do with my father. Galileo, we read, Newton, we read many essays of many scientists we read along the way, and they essentially try to reduce all matter to one underlying principle, whether it's heat, whether it's motion, whether it's light. That's not what Yadus emphasizes. Marabu Masecha Hashem is the beauty of the multifarious, multi-hued world. That's what Marabu Masecha Hashem. How diverse the handiwork of Hashem is, Baruch is, and of course we see it only when we engage in this act of Havdalah, when we are involved in this Havdalah, so then we actually see in a very clear way this idea, this notion. But just going back for a moment to this language of Yehi, so the Rishonim actually has this kasha. It's not that the kasha is not unknown, but as I said, the Balabatish answer, which is always the correct answer. Remember that Soloveitchik said over that the Balabas came to Rav Chaim Brisker and said he wants to tell him about Balabatish Svara. And so he said, don't worry, all my Svaras are Balabatish. That's what Pain told him. So anyway, so this is also a Balabatish as well, which is almost so axiomatic and so obvious. So let's start with the Rashi. Rashi basically is bothered by the Kashi. And the Torah says, Nase Odom Kitzalmeno Kidmuseno. So Rashi is bothered by the Lashon Rabbi. So Rashi says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the Malachim, consulted with the Pamali Shamal. That's what Rashi writes over here, that he consulted with the angels, and therefore, as a result, he didn't listen to that, because that's the Gemara and Shabbos, and also Chazal Midrashim. They decided that human beings leave a lot to be desired. As someone just told me in the Hallel, someone was really on my case on Kola, Adam, Kosei, on that, those three words. Essentially, where individuals who are not honest, however you interpret that, those three words and the context of the parakeet that it appears, but unquestionably, Nase Adam, the way Rashi learned, Hashem consulted with others. And that's what Rashi gives you, Eitzah Tova Kamashmal. Chua Barab Yoyes, also says in Mishlei. And whenever you're about to make a embark on a decision, you should consult others. Consult Chaverim, Chachomim, Dolei Yisrael, your wife, whomever. You consult your children. I don't know what your derech is that, but there's no question the Eitzah Tova Kamashmal, and that's the Nase Adam. Others say, however, the Rambam writes that Ribbono Shel Olam is addressing himself to nature. When he said, Nasa Olam Bitzalmenu Kidmuseinu, man is essentially transient spiritually, and Hashem employed the plural and addressed himself that because the human being is not consistent, so I have to address all of nature. And the Ibn Ezra also asked the question. The Ibn Ezra said, Nasa Olam is kind of the royal we. I guess that's how I put it. For those who understand, those who are familiar with Shakespearean plays, so they just have that concept of the royal we, found writ large, actually, employing different regencies. That's what they see, actually, in the La'abdil. So why royalty dafka on the sixth day? And the answer is, because when did Hashem become Melech? Hashem became Melech only when man was created. We say in the Adonol, Adonol, it's true, Hashem was a Melech prior to that. But Tzvei Dinim Melech. There's one Melech in absolute terminology, which Hashem, of course, has, and the other, ain't Melech below Ab. As I'll say, the Melech requires a constituency. He needs individuals who can acknowledge and accept his malchus of Hashem Yisbarach. So when man was created, it took man to declare Hashem as king. And that, of course, happened especially on Shabbos. And that's, by the way, this is just the Derech Agav editorial comment. Rassel Etchik a number of times went into a whole halachic discussion, and there are din of simcha on Shabbos. Parshim Shabbat, there's no din of simcha on Shabbos. And someone here in the shul asked me, but it says, Rabbi, we sing in the Zmiros. Okay, he's clearly not a brisket, but whatever the case is, that doesn't refer to the mitzvah simcha. Simcha Chazal said the Gemara all over Shas ain't simcha of basu v'yayi. It's a question whether there's any wonder we can kind of mitzvah yom tov of simcha basa. The Bei Halacha said we don't have sashlom. Others disagree and say we can be the kind, should be the kind of basa. I drink wine every day of Kol Moed. I'm a teetotaler. I don't drink wine b'chlal. But as I mentioned already a few times on the first night of Pesach, there's a Rashbam. The Rashbam and Rav Yitzchokin says you need to have a shakir. That's a beverage that's intoxicating. That's what I heard from my grandmother, Dovah Feinstein, that's how he has in his Goldoni, Perish and Agoda, very beautiful Perish and Agoda. And also in Purim, because Chai Vada Bipsun Bipurayah, which in some circles is the most important mitzvah in the Torah. Anyway, so Rashi says over there, Chai Vada Bipsun Bipurayah, rather than Shtakir Bayayayah. So Rashi writes in Megillah over there, that's good with wine. And the Yain is Samach of Abeno, so that din of Simcha applies that I heard from Dovi itself, that every day of Chol Moed, once you drink, or a Vyas of Yain. So now back to the idea of Melech. So there's a Melech, Hashem was a Melech even prior to the world being created. And he will be a Melech even after the world is no longer extant. That's what we say. That's what we say in that Adonol. We're laying down there the Yisaydi Hadas, the Yisodos of our Abunda. But it took man to declare Hashem as king of the universe, in order that Hashem should really take on that element of Malchus, that comes to the fourth, Dafka Shabbos. Yisnuhu Malchuscha, Shem Bishabbos Gareinu. The Rabbi has Tzitzin Tzubis, the Rabbi has Sifrei Malisla, Yom Simchaschem Zeru HaShabbos, but there's no din of Simchat Shabbos that's cool from Mishnah Malkod. Many other writings also clear. There's no Avelos on Shabbos, that is the Faesia, the Mitzinah, but Avelos is not Nitche, is not overturned by Shabbos, and that's a riot. That says Malkod, that there's no din of Avelos on Shabbos. Just one second more. I'm just trying to answer first the Nasa. Although I'm just showing you two or three Malchim and Nase, other why the Torah uses Lashon Rabbim, the Ibn Ezra actually has another answer. He says that Nase is the future tense of the first person. It's like an adjectival description of man. It's a description of the kind of man Hashem wants to emerge. It means Yehi Adam Nase. the type of human consciousness. We have to be conscious of the fact that Hashem created us. So as long as man is conscious of that, as long as that awareness exists, that's the height of awareness that a person should have. The moment he dies, that awareness is eclipsed. Okay, but anyway, I'm just simply trying to indicate that. Oh, wait, you want me to go into it?
No, this is why you don't understand the question.
So, first, a man is conscious that he exists. I believe the word in Latin, S-U-N, that's the term that refers to existence. And secondly, the person should ask himself, what am I? I mean, there are two distinct awarenesses of that question. Number one, on the one hand, we are lowly creatures. This is, of course, well known. We are from Ofar Va'efer. We're made of nothing. And the fact we're exposed to many vicissitudes, we're not secure, we're vulnerable, we're weak, we're not self-sufficient. We are perplexed. We have many issues. We have many problems. And on the other hand, we're also created. This duality exists very much in Pasha Bereishis. This is really another theme, very important theme in Pasha Bereishis, is that Tzvei Dinim, of course, the revenge was a brisket by Adua. So there's obviously dialectic involved over here as well in Pasha Bereishis, namely this idea that we are, on the one hand, created with Tzvei Dinim, who can rise to great heights, achieve greatness. And on the other hand, we're mortal. And obviously we're weak, and I follow Zay to that word, Virubom. I don't know how many people can translate it. That's a difficult word. Virubom, Rab. What's Rab? And he translated that word Rab. I mentioned this already. I told the story about my Rebbe in eighth grade. I'm going to Chaim Shevchenko, he's going to Dolly Ador. I told the story already more than once anyway, but when he came to Ellis Island, to the point of entry, so the Maskil was the clerk over there. He was a Jew who clearly had some knowledge of Tanakh. So he asked this young man who was in Avreich, who lived in the Yeshiva, was in Shanghai. He asked him, what do you plan on doing in this country? So he said, Vos Meinti, the guy spoke Yiddish. And he didn't speak any English, spoke Yiddish or Hebrew. Vos Meinti, I'll go learn the new Yeshiva in Shanghai. He came to the Yeshiva, he told the clerk. So he says, I'll go ahead for the Yeshiva. He said, but I don't know anything about what you plan on doing. I'm going to be a Malamed. I hope to be a Malamed in Nis Hashem, which is what he was, a Malamed in eighth grade, in Salanti Yeshiva for many, many years. But then he said to him, I want to see what kind of Malamed you are. He asked him to translate the following passage in Tanakh, and he asked him the following word for word. Chur, Karpas, Uscheles, Achuz, Bechad, Bevutzi, Argon, Al Dine Chesed, Abud, Yeshesh, Mitoz, Al Bechesed, Al Ritzefas, so it should be pronounced, Bahat, Boshesh, Vidar, Vesachoris. So he asked him, translate the word Sachoris. So the Rebbe said, Ichob unfangen schwitzen. He began to sweat. Who can translate the word Socharis? Dar! Who knows what that word means? Bahat. To me, if you'd ask me what's Bahat, some Indian tribe. But I don't know what it is. So he learned that, gone through the entire Shas, but not every possible Tanakh is mentioned in entire Shas. I'm going back. I didn't forget the question of the rest. Anyway, but I'm just entertaining a few moments. Anyway, so the. He said, you have a whole day here, you can just figure it out. So he spent the whole day, and he finally was able to work out every word. And he told me, he decided on the spot, he's going to learn Tanakh. He's going to know Tanakh. He knew Tanakh Baal Peh, and I met him in the 60s. Tanakh, really, every word, every vav achiv of Tanakh he knew. Besides being a goyim, we didn't know he was a goyim. How did I find out? Rabbi Ginsburg, he was a goyim. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. And I hear there's a Levaya, Rabbi Chaim Shevchenko. I go to Levaya. Who's the Maspid? Rabbi Chaim Shulevitz was Maspid, called him Echon Naharoyo Shebechabura, one of the lions of the Chabura. He's my eighth grade baby. And I'm some Mi Pesi Yosurina, some silly in that class, didn't have a clue who he was. I knew he was a good Balkari, an excellent Balkari, and a good Baltfila that I knew, that I heard, that I saw. Okay, I'm back to the issue. So I'm just going back to the consciousness, if you don't mind. I'm trying to translate the word Ezra. I'm not sure if this is the Trat Ibn Ezra, but I believe I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that's what he says. He alludes to this idea that, they say in the Kotzker, so let's just go to the Kotzker, that why do we have two pockets? So the answer is, each one has a slip of paper on my left hand side, my right hand side. In one pocket it says, the other pocket says about the chasreya me'ad me'alokim, the chobot me'hodot yadreya, according to the Chabad over here in Chumash, the apostle of Tzel me'alokim. Now, the person can either achieve greatness, can achieve incredible heights. So I'm just pointing out that the name I'm trying now to go back to the Ibn Ezra and it's good that you're pressing me on this. I said that when the Rebbe seems to suggest Nase Adam, I would say there's a maybe two types of consciousness. There's an image consciousness, which is, and a Nase consciousness, which has to do both with mitzvahs and also with my existential being, my very self. I mean, both of these are somehow embedded in this Nase. There's a double, somehow double kind of language that's found over here. And that is embedded, as I said, both in Nase, in mitzvahs Masios, and also in this consciousness, maybe existentially or philosophically, who I am, where I am, which is...
How does that verb shift when the Roshon demands consciousness?
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what I think Ibn Ezra absolutely does get. It's not clear at all. I learned the entire Ibn Ezra operation from my father, Tefendi Bach. It took us about 2 years. My father's very into Ibn Ezra, also into the TikTok of the Ibn Ezra, which I still don't have a clue what that's all about. But anyway, so just going back to this idea, which is the fourth principle that I think are very, this is embedded also in Gracious, very much so. There are two, I would maybe use an example of Tefillah. Tefillah is a very good example. We see this duality, that why were we granted the privilege of Tefillah? The Ramban calls it a chesed. Ramban speaks of Tefillah being the greatest act of chesed that Hashem gave to us. So, I mean, the question, of course, is, as already, but that's over there. Not going to be that. Elokim b'shamayim, that's when the Ibn Ezra over there goes to down against the Avodah Zakaria. What do we need all this piyutim for? I'm sure you asked the same question. What do we need them for? Elokim HaShemayim, an infinite God. The Atal Aretz, a finite man, finite Lilliputian man. Why in heaven's name are we coming to Hashem's Baruch with all of our petty requests, with all of our silliness, with our sometimes foolish petitions? And that's what the Pasuk says. Hashem is infinite, and we are finite. What's the nature of this entire approaching Hashem is Baruch in Tefillah? Isn't it insolent? Isn't it chutzpahdik? The very nature of approaching Hashem is Baruch is an act of chutzpah. Of course, Rav Soloveitchik in his brisk of halach, everything Tefillah is a matir, and the matir was either avos tignum, k'neged tmidum tignum, the am both the halachim, both the maris, whether Tefillah k'neged tmidum tignum, the avos tignum, he passed in both, there's a stira, there's no stira, but okay, that's another occasion. Anyway, so you have basically prayer or tefillah. There are two elements in tefillah as well. On the one hand, tefillah expresses the greatness of our ability to approach Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem Yisbarach clearly, in effect, is machshiv, our tefillos, and we can stand before him, and on the one hand. On the other hand, of course, tefillah expresses our worthlessness, our sense of being off of the Efer, and there are different parts of tefillah where sometimes we stand, sometimes we are. The way the Torah explains the Tachanun, Anavu lo neda, Manasseh, we've done everything. We bowed, we stood, we kneeled, now we're just basically throwing ourselves at your mercy, Hashem Yisbarach, and hopefully you'll respond to us. Okay, all this is included somehow in the Nase. But coming back to the idea which I mentioned a moment ago, which is probably the most important idea, namely idea number three, Yihi. Why is Yihi not found with reference to a human being? Dafka with everyone else, my father asked me, and the answer is Pashit. The answer is, it says Nase Adam. The answer is because it's a lesson to the Dori Doros. It's a lesson for all of us, for parents. You cannot expect to command and have a child put on tefillin and put on tzitzis and put on the talis and be mekayem mitzvahs because you snap your finger. On the contrary, what we have to do is we have to fashion painstakingly, however you translate the word chinuch, machlokes harishonim and chumash. But however you translate it, there's a need to painstakingly fashion each individual. There's no such thing as Yihi. Yihi would mean that as all the different elements of the firmament emerge, they emerge through Yihi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu so declared, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Basar Mamaros, Divra Elam. Through an Amir, Hashem is brought, that's how the world emerged. That is not how a human being emerges. If man is created by Yihi, matter of fact, it's a very fascinating Rabbeinu B'chai Yifush. Just reminding myself of it, that the pasuk says, with reference to Esau, Vayi Esau, Ish Yodei Atzayin Esau, they're the same lashon. The Yaakov Ishtam, Yishav Olam, in fact, the Rishonim, where's the verb, by Yaakov Avinu? Vayi Esau, Ish Yodei Atzayin Esau, the verb, Vayi, the Yaakov should have said, Hoyo Ishtam, Yishav Olam, and the answer to that question is from the Medrash. That the Gemara said that, Medrash says, Shor Ben Yom Kavim Shor, Gemara Mavakama. Esau was already created completely fashioned. He was already her suit. Esau was physiognomically an adult. So there was no development, there was no hitpatzut on the part of Esau. He basically was born a complete human being. He didn't go through the entire evolution of every human being, different stages of life, etc., etc. a young child, and then a bit older, and then the teenage years, and subsequently adulthood, etc., etc. None of that. The Yaakov Ishtam Yishevol, and Yaakov was the one who undergo many, many seismic changes in the course of his life. So that's what the, that's the answer to the discussion. It doesn't say Yehi Adam, because there's no such thing. A human being is not Yehi, cannot emerge from Yehi. The Gemara says in Kedushin, Shoshal Shufim Yesh, Ba'adam, Akadimbo, Ba'adam, Ba'imo, and the parents have to follow the example of Hashem as well. Just like he said, Nase Adam has to be through a process, through a talich. So too, the same idea essentially occurs with, in terms of the, in terms of us and our, and our children. We have to be mechanic them, we have to go ahead and create them, and the man has to be basically fashioned. There's a very beautiful kleyakar. My father was in love with kleyakar. He loved all the kleyakars, and loved the kleyakar. Has other svarim and drush, which I had no choice but to learn, and my father enjoyed them. So there was kefir asach and very sadi. So one of his beautiful svarim and drush, what was that? Other survived very the sefer. I went to the entire sefer. So there he has a mashal at one point in time. Of he compares a human being to a matzah. There are different stages in the production of a matzah, says the Eilos HaFayim. The one that first we gather all the raw materials, and at one point we have the raw material, then we can go ahead and put it together, and hopefully the flour with the water, and now we have an Isa, that's stage number two, and then subsequently we have what the Mishnah is called Challah, Gemara Pesachim, Krimas Panim B'Tanim. That's when the Shem Challah is emerges. Actually, the Shem Challah emerges twice. That's a two psukim chumash. One reishis avis to say, and the pashim shlach. Challah tovim b'tzurumah kisumas gerim kitovim also. Reishis avis to say, the challah is only called as the Shem Challah. And the other of the esen nashim lach lechem etan erechad. Atan b'tzar for the challah. Amishne challah. And then Mishnah is challah rasal ovechim. Anyway, with all the rashes and Yerushalmin, merde. Anyway, the kids. So the you have here three different stages. Number one, the stage where you gather the raw material. Stage number two is when you have the shem lechem, at least in its incoherent form, the isa. And then subsequently, when you have the pirmas panim b'tanur, so what's the difference? Says the kliyokar, when the raw materials are being gathered. So that's a very young child looking at the world around them and just trying to explore and assimilate. And the isa already now, the condition of the world, the dough begins to form. There's now a kind of silhouette of the individual, an outline of the individual. We have a more or less, it's maybe a faint outline, so it says in the halacha that you had better fetch away at that dough in the Islamic matzah. You don't fetch away at that dough, it can become chavetz, miyad machmitz. So you have to go ahead and work on it. And you work on it, kol hayom kulo. It will not become chavetz. It will not, assuming that chavetz is fermentation. I once had a class with Rabbeinu, he was the defender of the, he was the entire biology department. So he claimed that it's not fermentation. Okay, everyone says yes. He says no. Okay, what else? Anyway, but that's nothing new. So the let's assume it's fermentation. That that's what the process, that's generally what most assume. So now that has to really, you have to work on the dough. You have to kvetch it, call it and cool. Oh, it's going to become chametz. So a young, a teenager has to be kvetched in this direction, that direction. Let a teenager grow on his own base. We have one with some catastrophic, catastrophe. I deal with teenagers my whole life. So, and then one they become 18, 19, 20, whatever the age is, that's a kliyok. It's fine. That's why he has that good safer, this idea. So here again, human being is unique. We are distinct. Nasa other metamidic in the same. We have to go through this these processes, and that's exactly what why this occurred. There's a famous mice that once said over this mice. I haven't said it before, Rabbi. Why? So this is new. Maybe you're aware of it. The only one who doesn't know about these things is there's only one person in the shul who seems to have knowledge of everything. But there's a brat. He reads everything, a voracious reader, and he has knowledge. It's a very unbelievable story he told over, just hope I can say it over properly. And that is the days of the Vilna Gaon. There was an apostate, one of the mumrim from Judaism. He went and stole an important Christian icon. He stole it actually from the church. He brings it to the Beis HaKnesset in Vilna. He brought it to the largest synagogue in Vilna. And he decided to hide it where? In the Erev Pesach. So, and when did this happen? It happened, I believe, at Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, when generally, you know, all Klai Yisrael prepare the Arabas for the purpose of Chavata Sa'arava. I met two Balei Tshuva, this Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and a recent Balei Tshuva, Rabbi Ginsburg, 3-4 week old Balei Tshuva. And they saw this, people beating the Arava, some of them beating it to death, Some decide they have to remove the arava of every single arava there, etc., etc. There's no such halacha. But whatever the case is, so they asked me, they came over to me, they asked someone else, and they said, better you should ask the rabbi about this whole process. And then they came over to me and they said, you know, we like different parts of Judaism, but this is the most bizarre thing we ever saw. That's what they told me. They just, they're maybe 3-4 weeks old. They became a Bel Teshuva 3-4 weeks ago. They told me, I said, what do you mean? It didn't happen over a period of time. Of course it happened over a period of time, but they concretized it 3-4 weeks ago. They started to become Shemi Shabbos and Shemi Torah Mitzvahs, and then they started observing Jews at work, Orthodox Jews, and they are beside themselves. They just couldn't, for the life of them, figure out what is this all about. So I don't like to even attempt to answer what I call these questions that are very weighty and do it our regular, as I call it, regular Judaism. It's basically what Judaism is all about today. It's all regular. So I have no shyness to substance or anything like that. People want to hear these, what do they call these 3-second answers or the sound bites, or they want to see a sound bite, or they, and that to them is all Judaism. I have a lot to say about that, but I'm trying to be polite. Anyway, so Shana Rabba, we have a custom to do that. And so
the pastor.
Sorry? What
did you answer that?
He has a sense of humor that I will find for Shlita. May Hashem bless you. After davening, I asked them if they're willing to talk to me in the sukkah. So they said, yeah, no problem. They were there for 3.5 hours. They were quite sorry they asked me the question. They told someone else they will not ask that rabbi anymore. That was probably a mistake on their part. I told them, listen, I'm not into regular Judaism. They didn't know the regular one. I said, you missed most of Judaism. That's what Judaism is today. It's all regular, nothing else. So I also divided them the regular while I was at it, the sukkah. And we made the Nation of Sukkah. I'm sorry about the Ginsburg. But anyway, we were there for 3 hours. So we followed the Mishabruah. We did a few other things as well. They even asked if they wanted to eat bread. They wanted to become Motzi. Okay, anyway, so it was Chol HaMoed, so we didn't have to make Kiddush. I hope you don't mind. So going back to the story of the Vilna Gaon, so this apostate told the Christian authorities that where the high ground was hidden, it's in the Aron Kodesh of the Shul, and he also declared that the Jews were going to beat the icon to death. And if they would investigate, they would find these twigs in their homes and twigs in the synagogue, the Arabos. And of course, they went investigating. They found exactly as he said. Literally, Pshut Gamashmo, that was the story. Thereupon, all the Zikne Ha'eda Vilna were arrested. And they were obviously in great danger of Rahman Lassan being executed, being killed because of this. And there was an obscure individual. His name was Manns, M-A-N-N-S. That's how Salesi spelled it. His name was Manns. So he came to the Rebbe Vilna and he asked, could I confess to the crime and thereby save tens and tens of lives of members of Klal Yisrael? So the Rebbe couldn't answer the question. It's a Holocaust question, Shoah question that's discussed in Yimamakim Kasich Hashem. It's a question discussed all over the Chibur literature. It's Gemaras. So I can't get into all the Gemaras right now. It's Sanhedrin and elsewhere. The Sugya Rebbe Yavah, that's where it's discussed in Tzuvit, in Sofim, in Sanhedrin. We shouldn't talk about this issue, and Achrenim talk about this issue, a very complicated issue. And as all the Shambis and the Rama, of course, deals with it, say, Amichos. So he couldn't issue himself. He felt it was not possible. So he said, come back tomorrow. The Rav told this Jew, Manns, to come back tomorrow, and I'll try to give you psa. This person realized the situation and realized that if I come back, who knows what the Rav's going to tell me? He immediately went to the Christian authorities, he confessed the crime, he was executed, and he saved the entire city of Vilna. That's all Salesik has a Kabbalah and the story that he told over. And during the many years, Salesik said, when he was in Vilna, during that entire time he was in Vilna, they observed at Hashana Rabbah, they called it Man's Askara. It was known as the Askara of Man, of this individual, that they had the greatness of this person, that he literally gave up his life. But he had similar demands and kindness and elsewhere in Shas that deal with these issues. But whatever the case is, I think the point was simply trying to underscore and really accentuate is that this is also part of this this importance. Yehi is not said by his Adam because each one of us Each one of us is unique. Each one of us has a different topic, as I said earlier. Each one of us is has what to contribute, and that's what we have to somehow get across to our youth, and we have to get across to the cloud, every member of Klal Yisrael, that we have so much to offer and so much to contribute, that really it's amazing what we're capable of doing, and that's why there's no lashon of Yehi Adam, but Nase Adam. It's a process, a talich. One of the requires enormous hashkoah, a part of appearance, a part of the content, a part of rabbonim, and that's how a person ultimately emerges in the right kind of way. Okay, so to summarize, discuss some of the moral principles that are embedded in the gracious. Now the question is whether I should go further. I'll say Yesh Makom Ladun and the Shoel Otchem. I'm asking you, I was going to discuss a little bit, of course for me a little bit, it was Gom Shem Shir. But anyway, I was going to discuss the story of Cain and Hevel, but that may take a bit. So if you feel that we've reached the end of our rope, I accede to your, all of you, not just one person, but all of you. What do you say, Dr. Callis? I'm asking honestly. The people feel that I'm that the Tzar Bali Chaim involved. To me, there's no Tzar Bali Chaim because I'm saying Shir. But there's also no Tzar Bali Chaim because I'm accustomed to this. I used to hear Shir for 4 or 5 hours, and I was riveted by that. So I don't know if you would have the same. I'm not the same as that Magid Shir, so I don't claim to be. If anyone objects, I will stop, and that's I will. What is Rabbi Bornstein? I'm asking. What? You're the Gabbai Shabbos Knesset. What do you guys say? Is everyone really on board? Okay, so maybe another 20 minutes or so. If that you don't object. I mean, it's like Ben Hasman, isn't Ben Hasman? For me, it's never Ben Hasman.
It's not 4 or 5 hours.
What? That's not a good thing for you to say. It's not a healthy thing.
As long as there's someone here.
We'll make up the hour next to Shabbos.
What's next? We'll say Shabbos. Change the clock. Therefore, we have more time. So let's start. Oh, okay. So that means we should do it now and then again. Okay, fine. So if you don't mind looking at just this passage, very dull. I'm just a few diukim. If you don't mind, I want to make that. I thought it was significant. So there are a lot of things that bother me. My father told me how to read the text, to read it properly, do good, feel comfortable. Hashem, whatever you have to do. So that's the same. Then it should buy it. I hope that should really bring all the water. Very Dalit. I just want to just show how are you talking. I'm sure all of you read it like that as well. So of course, right away, you should be thunderstruck by the verb yoda, where the Torah expresses, we're talking about a husband and wife consorting with each other. And you have to learn the term Yoda is used. Now we know that the term Yoda also has another, there's a famous sefer written by the Ramban called the Yeres HaKadosh. The Academicians don't want to ascribe that sefer to the Ramban. So they have other theories who wrote the sefer. It's a gorgeous sefer. It's a sefer which has in it Yisaydi Hadas. Asolichi has a collection of essays that had to do with family. He once gave a shir in Rutgers. I was there. In the 70s. He said a shir in Rutgers University, and the shir was about sexuality. And it was all an examination of Adam and Chava, the entire parasha here. And most of it is published, except for the, I think I mentioned over here, Shlita, to you, that maybe I did. A woman gets up in the middle of the lecture. There's 2,000 people there. A woman gets up in the middle of the lecture, and she says, Rabbi, I think she's an esteemed rabbi, Judaism discriminates against women. He had a text on salvation. He always wrote a text. He wrote every single word down. It was in English, this lecture. And he would read from the text. And so he said, quote, Manabazel. That was a lush. What do you mean? Judaism discriminates against women. She says, well, a woman, I heard, is not, she can't testify in the Jewish court of law. She's invalid to be a witness, to be an aide in the Jewish court of law. So then he says to her, madam, have you studied Judaism carefully? She said, no, but I know this law. She knew this law. He exhausted all of her knowledge about women, the Jewish law, and that law. So the Rav said, do you think that's a fair statement to make publicly? That because a Jewish woman is not vowed to testify in the Jewish court of law, that already is grounds for discrimination against women. Would you like me to share with you some knowledge about women? The Rav goes off the text for the next 45 minutes, which was not published. That was the best part of the shir. They didn't publish it in that when they collected that essay. The Rav then goes into a lengthy excursus in every single area of halacha what the status of women are. And he went on for about 45 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. At the end, he came back to her issue. And he said, you know, someone else is also invalid. Perhaps Mademoiselle, you know who else is not valid to testify in the Jewish court of law? A king. For the same reason that a woman is not valid, called Kula Basmal Pima. Unfortunately, Rabbi Ginsburg, the Rebbe didn't define called Kula Basmal Pima in that shir. But Melech also, it's a Gemara inside Eidah, it's a Mishnah. Melech is also Pasal Eidah. So therefore, she had the status of the king. Anyway, at that point in time, after the Rebbe finished, the whole audience got up. Resounding applause from 2,000 people. I never had such hanor in my entire life as when I had the. And also, you know, he did it very respectfully and with all the sensitivity to us. It was a woman's amaris, I said, I want to never cool about Judaism. And, you know, they want to say the pontificate publicly as they want to do. So, luckily, I wasn't there. I would have handled it differently. Anyway, so Adam Yoga is Chava Ishto. So it said that Adam knew Chava his wife. The term Yoga is a term that's found with the Diyas Hashem. We speak about the Rambam writes that the Rambam writes in one place, it depends on the Girsa, that a person, the advocate of a person is Leida, to know, to come close to Hashem is brought. The word Leida, of course, means Chibur, that the entire the Girsa Kodesh is based on this idea of Chibur, the connection between us and Hashem is brought. So here the Lashon, it is used in terms of a physical relationship, but that automatically shows you to the Ramban's thesis in Girsa Kodesh. All thesis is based on the idea that the relationship between husband and wife is not purely a physical one, Chas V'Shalom. Otherwise, it's bestial in nature, it's animalistic in nature, it's just a streetcar named desire, but rather it has to be founded upon love and affection and trust and chesed. That's the term yoda. All this is embedded in the term yoda. I'm just making just simple diugim until I get to my main point. Batar, batel, eskayim, batom, konisi, ish, es, Hashem. What a language. Konisi, ish, es, Hashem. Get him to translate the words. And of course, what should trouble you, which troubles Rashi and the Ramban, all the Rishonim, konisi, ish, where does Rashi translate as Hashem? Im Hashem. You know, this reminds me of Rabbi Weiss. My first Sheva Brachas. So my Sheva Brachas, I spoke at Rashi in Kiseitse. That was almost half a decade ago. But Rashi comments in the Pasuk in Kiseitse, v'simach es ish lo Hashem loka. So Rashi quotes two translations. Either he quotes the Targum, and another translation. Either it means v'simach es ish lo Hashem loka, or Rashi says, not es, but im ish lo Hashem loka. Nafkeminah, I'm yichasino, I have to visit. Who's the Bible man that's in the who should be Mesameach? The Gemara says, Isha Baila Mesamta. She's the recipient of the Simcha that the husband should provide for his wife, as opposed to both of them being Bali Simcha, as it were. So, okay, so here this Rashi was reminds me of that. Kondisi Ish Es Hashem. And Rashi says it means Im Hashem. That's what Rashi said. We're Shufim. Rashi calls here the idea of Shufim. I can continue. I'm just making a few. I'll rest it up and make a general comment and kind of help. But he continues and says now the following. Batosef Moledes Es Ochi Vesodom. Of course, right away, what's his fatasa loveliness? What's the nature of that statement? It's obvious. They had one son, and now they have another one. What's his fatasa loveliness? And vayihi. Oh, machabal vayihi. Vayihi have a right son. Here the term vayihi is used. With reference to heaven. The kind of the only that number. Past tense, and vayihi with heaven. And then machabal. Vayihi miketz yomim. And he translated that. It's also very difficult. Translation. Miketz Yamin. What does it mean, Miketz Yamin? There are many possible translations of what Miketz Yamin means. First, the word Miketz in Tanakh generally refers to the end of an epoch, the end of a zeitgeist, the end of a tkufa. As we see in Vayi Miketz Shoshim Shonah V'Yavah Meir Shonah, Vayi V'Yasa V'Yavah Zeh, the Pashim Bo, Yotzi Zotivus Hashem, Meretz Mitzrayim, Bel Shimu Hu Hashem, Bel Tzvi Meretz Mitzrayim, Wa Lai Lazel Hashem, Shimu Hu Lavar Yisrael Adar Yisrael. So here the Pasuk says, Vayi Miketz Yamin, at the end of, when the Targum translates, Misoy Tiyomin, the Hebel, Hevi, Gamhu, the answer to the simple pshat is that clearly we don't, again, we know what Chazal said, that Hevel clearly brought a matana which was Mipcheres, Seinor, and Mechalveyan. Clearly he brought from the best, Shufa the Shufa. Kayan did not, as Chazal already have a lot to say. But the Pasuk then goes on to say, Vayisha Hashem, El Hevel, and Mechasel. Also, striking language. Why did Moshe be Vayisha? I would have said, Mikibel Hashem, as Hevel, as Bechasel, as opposed to Vayisha Hashem. Okay, that needs a separate discussion. But the way the Rishon interpret that his mincha was L'Reach Nicholach. It was accepted by Hashem as Barach, that's Vayisha Hashem. Mielkai, Bechasel, Lo Sha'ah. Vayicha, the Kaim, no. Here we have two reactions on the part of Kaim. One is Charon, one is essentially anger. And the other is Vayipu Panav. Let's call it a sense of melancholia. He's melancholy. He's depressed. A reaction to both. This is one of the most important psukim. Namely, if you improve your behavior, So then the situation will improve. It's a tshuva. You will say till the Pesach atos rovets. Ve'lechot shukos v'yatotim shabov. This is another yisod in our understanding, in our hashkofa. Namely, we can control the Yetzer Hara. Even though the Gemara says Zaden, who came first? Yetzer Hara came. Yetzer Hara appears when we become bat mitzvah and bat mitzvah. U'becholzo, ve'lechot shukos v'yatotim shabov. We can be Moshe over the Yetzer Hara. The Torah continues, and now the Torah does have a few more of the Yukim, and then I want to make a statement in general. By your Mekai, the level of what in heaven's name is an angel of that statement. Cain spoke to Abel. What did he say to him? The Torah doesn't tell us. So Rashi says, Nichnas imo v'dibe ribu matzah, this girl of the Arba. There are so many midrashim, and there's no end to midrashim. They decided, let's go and divide the spoils, let's divide the earth, different shotim, elamazah, elamahaba, or metalfin, karka, all kinds of different opinions in the medrash, what the Amira was going in this dialogue. First act of the Rahman al-Sal homicide, Ayama Shem al-Kain, Ne Hebel Achicha, Ayama Loyadad, Shomer Achia Nochi. Ayama Mel Sisa called Demei Achicha, that's the Gemara Tadem, everyone knows that Gemara. Demei Achicha, when a person has to show him, kill someone, you're not only killing him, but you're killing Dorei Doras, potential generations of future Sion that could have Rahman al-Sal, that could have actually on the country, could have been productive, and now Rahman al-Sal. Because of what you did, you snuffed out all those generations, and the same applies in general. This is a very important different chizuk here. When you mechazik another Jew, another person, when you give them idun and chizuk, and you affect Abishabek, and Machitov, and all that, that gives them, that builds a person. And that's something which is all better than Kol Tmei Achicha, Tzokim Elayim and Adama, the potential that we have to help others, etc. The Chiyom of Achicha, as the Pasuk says. So Rashi says over there in Fumish Vayikra, before he falls down, make sure you pick them up when he's on the way down. When you pick him up, don't wait until he's all the way down. And then, of course, the punishment to Cain is noble, not here, but Oretz. And we'll discuss that in a moment. And then Cain, of course, begins to recognize what he did. It's so kind of bitterly that Hashem has banished me, possibly Dalit, and has to put him. Noble, no, and Hashem gives him whatever he gives him, according to one day, banished a seeing eye go. Hashem gave him a kelev. That's where the Chazal come in the Medrash on Midrashim, or an osim, sort of an os. The Vilti Hakos also called Moso. And then Kayin, of course, the most dreaded punishment that the Jew has, no longer being the presence of Hashem. Ayitzi Kayin Lepnei Hashem. Similar to him in Yoyna. I wrote about that. I wrote a whole kutch on Yoyna, so I discuss this a lot. Ayitzi Kayin Lepnei Hashem, that he's no longer the presence of Hashem is barred. That's the most dreaded punishment that a Jew could have. And then the Torah goes on to discuss other other elements over here that are also equally significant. Let me just make, as I said, just maybe a few comments, if you don't mind, on this parsha of Cain and Hevel, based again primarily on Rishonim. This is the first tragic episode of homicide that we encounter in Chumash and the history of mankind. Now, at the birth of Cain, we saw that, what does Chava say? Kanisi ish im Hashem. So the Ramban says that what this means is the following. So the Ramban here interprets this pasuk. He said that this son is going to be my acquisition, L'shem Shavayah. Because when we die, he'll become the Eved Hashem. He'll replace us, Kanisi Ish Es Hashem. And then Batosu Lelevis says, Ochli B'Zavel. Those are Derek portrays Kayin as being the epicenter, and his brother Hebel as the Tosefer. He's secondary to Kayin. So the pasuk will say, Batosu. So disparity and the divergence between them, we see as the end of expression in the line of work that each one chose for himself. Cain is a farmer. Ovid Adama, he tills the field. He's rooted in the ground. He's rooted on terra firma. In sharp distinction is, of course, Hevel is a roi tzom. A roi tzom means that what? He's a shepherd wandering to and fro. He's looking always for lush pasture areas. Now, Rav Eder Chaye has many times in Chumash, he speaks about the godless of roi tzom. Many of the Nevi'im were roi tzom. The Avos were roi tzom. David HaMelech was a roi tzom. Shaul HaMelech was a roi tzom. There are many, many roi tzom that we encounter in our lifetime. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of the early Yahrzeit Shurim, he said for his father, Gimel Shvat, in the 40s. Unfortunately, I was not there. But I had an uncle, a cousin of my mother, who was there. And I have notes of him on that. He used to import the Maine, but he used to go to Boston, often in New York. He was all over the place. Anyway, so his, I don't know, maybe you knew his son. There was a rub, a scan rab to Rabbi Riske in Lincoln Square Synagogue. His name was Herschel Cohen. So this is his father. He was a lawyer in Poland, Maine, a cousin of my mother. So I inherited his notes from the 50s. He has notes from Rabbi Soloveitchik. I was looking for those notes. They're very, unfortunately, they're not sufficiently substantive. They're sort of scanty, but I will take anything. I'm a hungry man. Anyway, so he has a reference to that, the Yahrzeit Shir in the 40s, about Soloveitchik, where he contrasted Cain and Hevel. The one, he said, Cain, of course, is Eved Adama, he has Achiza. He's Mushrosh in the Karka. He has Sharosh in the Karka. He has Dushas Mokum. The whole Arichas over there, Mashen Cain, Hevel, a Roy Tzon is a wanderer. So Rabbi Mechayi, a number of times in Chumash, both here, by Cain the Hevel, and Rabbi Mechayi in Shemais. Already writes this again. He repeats this idea. The third or fourth time he writes it to other places. The other Torah says that Moshe Yeroeh Son Miso Chais Nakrein Bidyon. Vayinag is Atzor Achah Bidbo. Vayom Alhal Alkim Tarego. And then Vayir Elah Mal Hashem Elah Basay Yitach Asneh. So what the Gavuz of Yeroeh Son? Two points. The Rabbi Chai makes. He says it again and again. One, he was Moshe Rabbeinu, Dovin HaMelech, Shaul HaMelech, and obviously Hevel, they were blessed. Look, see, his Bedudus. They were buried his Bedudus. In connecting to Hashem is Barach. That's number one. Number two, Roi Tzon, why do they go to distant pastures? And no, they should not be accused of Chashashom of Gezel. Rashi quotes it Chumash and Rabbi Luchai Barichas, these three, four places. He expatiates on this matter. The Gemara is all over Shas. That Roi Tzon, Apostle Agnes, generally, because they're Gazlonim and they pasture on other people's land. Anyway, so the Chazal tells about the Nevi'im that they were very, very careful regarding these matters. And also the distinction between Cain and Hevel. Said Rav Soloveitchik, Cain struck deep roots in the ground because of his agricultural what he was involved in. Hevel, the Lashon is Vayihi, past tense, but it's a progressive tense. A shepherd didn't succeed in establishing any foothold. He was a road zone, wanderlust, constant wandering, a vagabond, wandering about, not having any Dushas Mokum. Now let's go to the next apostle. Vayihi Miketz Yomim. The term Miketz, I told you, is a dual interpretation. The end of a particular, let's say, period, the end of agriculture period, the end of a zeitgeist. That's one possibility. A second possibility is that Cain was tardy in his belated offering to Hashem. That essentially, there's a significance in the quality of the offerings that Cain brings an offering from the Kriya Adama, when the Chazal was inferior, substandard. Hevel brings Mechelvei from the best. And this is borne out by the probably the expression the Torah uses vis-a-vis Cain's offering, or the plethora of expression regarding Hevel, I just mentioned, by the way, this is Halacha, the Rambam calls him Surah Mizbeach, the very famous Rambam. And the Rambam cites Cain the Hevel. That the Rambam has a Surah Mizbeach over there, what Torah says, Dragon Zion probably. The end of the Surah Mizbeach, I know all the ends, all the Rambams at the ends. So there he tells you that a person wants to be Beshabi, his Yetzer, and one wants to discipline himself, so what should he do? The Rambam says that he should bring a carbon. When it brings a carbon, it should be from the choicest, from the ideal kind of species that it's bringing from. And what does the Rambam bring a rider from? The Hevel, Hegni, Gamru, Mipcharis, Sayyid, Mechel, Beyer. And the Rambam goes on to say over there, he tells you that any item that one is dedicated to Hashem is Barach has to donate from the most pleasing, the most good. You want to build a shul? It should be nice in their own domicile. Anyone who lives in Toronto, so there's a very famous shul. They call it, jokingly, the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi. The Bayit. I don't know if you've been to Toronto. So the Bayit was built by a great philanthropist, Tannenbaum. I think he wanted the people also to contribute. I think they did contribute, but he probably paid $20 million. Okay, I'll be a Canadian. By that time, the Canadian dollars on par with the American dollar. Anyway, we can serve. So now all the houses in Toronto are of a similar nature. As we say, Rama, he served his bath. It's a song of Rama. The Rambam said that it should be nicer than your own domicile. So it is nicer than their own domicile. The Yom Kippur Rambam. a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Anyway, could be there might be another marker for the Rambam. There's a posting, I think, Shmuel begs, and the Rambam says that the king says to Nosan Anobi, Hine Anochi Yoshev, Hashem is sitting in the dwelling of Arozin. Baron Ayriya, Baron Akadish, Batarayriya. That also might be a mocker for this, the halacha that the Rambam is saying. And the Rambam goes on, when you feed the hungry, you should give them for the best. When you clothe the naked, for the best. If you're magni something to Hashem, let it dedicate it to Hegdish. Based on this tukin. So you see that Hevel somehow was able to subdue his Yisra'ah. He brings a prize offering, wasn't the decision. Because anyone involved in raising livestock is cognizant of the efforts involved to maintain them in an optimal state. Cain was involved in husbandry, he's involved in agricultural pursuits. that didn't require a nomadic existence, and he did succeed in conquering Yetzirah, and he decides to bring a paltry offering, a second-rate offering, and not that which is ideal. That's what the Torah describes over here. Is even though that's true, Hashem favored the offering of Hevel and spurned the offering of Kayim, but Chazal even say, Rashi quotes it. Rashi quotes that, Eish yordam ha-shamayim. This Rashi always reminds me, of course, of Eliyahu HaNavi v'Hakarmel, that Eish came down ha-shamayim and consumed the offering of Hevel, similar to Karbanos, Reach Nicholach. So you have to. So apparently, what was the response of Hashem to Kayim? Why not read it? So it again was a function of two different hashkofas that are endemic in their personalities. Kayim was rooted in the ground, but he was not willing to see one iota of that which he owned. He was not willing to do mapatia at anything. He saw in his the expanding of energy, a fulfillment of the pasuk, currently beats and beyond the also is a high lazer. He was essentially someone who was a miserly, niggardly character. He's a wandering shepherd. His modus operandi is to engage in his bodiness with Hashem Yisbarach. That's what I mentioned to Rabbeinu Bechaye. And by the way, the Rabbeinu Bechaye is found in the third spot. I'm just reminding myself now in Vayigash over there where it says that the Bnei Yaakov Shnei Masar. Let me just see if I can find that pasuk. It should be in Vayigash. It used to be there. Here it is. Berg Mem Bov, pasuk Lamed Beis. So there the Torah tells you this yesod, and that's what Rabbi Bechai comments over there. You must learn Rabbi Bechai. But Anoshim wrote it so. Yanchi Miknayu. It's on the Bukhar of Hashem and Mevim. And that passage, that's what Rabbi Bechai comments over there. And that passage is similar to what it says over here, what it says in the Yiddish. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is simply that there were obvious distinctions between Kain and Hevel and the Hashkofa and their motivation. And generally, what happens when a person is subject to a rebuke? To Chacha, so not everyone likes the Chacha, that's W Yodua. But what Chacha should do, if it's given properly, is that it should compel the individual to engage in introspection. The person then takes a good look at himself and recognizes that maybe I have some areas of my life that require tikkun, that need fixing and the like. Instead, what is Kayin? How does he react? He reacts with peevishness, with a kind of impetuosity, with a childish kind of peevishness. Vayicha the Kayin Le'ei, Vayichu Panam, the Pasuk says over here. His anger, melancholy, as I mentioned earlier, and Hashem says, what's going on? Instead of in a directed kind of probing, he right away places the onus elsewhere. And Hashem says, no, everything depends on you. Halom teitiv se'es, yivlo seitiv la'pesach hatos rovitz. Ve'lecha tshukoso, hu yiv sholbo. And, yes.
How do we stem the fact that Hevel has the word for us, the word negative?
So that you have to look in the Avedah B'chayim. He discusses that issue. It's an excellent kasha. Valuable kasha. The same kasha is asked on Kalas. Avel Avodim. They call it Rabban's Perish Kalas. Oh, Aricho Shem Kamon. And that kasha. That's a very good kasha. Very important kasha. You know the Rambam says, Amar Avon. I call Hevel Arusvach. He says it says about the Rambam that what he said is, I guess that looking at the trails it's not here. It means that it's not very positive what the Rambam said. Doesn't agree with the Rambam. Okay, but the kasha that Rabbi Kastner and Shlita S is a very important kasha, a good kasha. It would need a whole shir. I have to go and go off the way off the derech. But if you don't mind, if you wish, as you can't find it, I'll show it to you. But you know that, yeah, Rebbe Chaim discussed it. It's also in Pehelas. The Rishonim talk about Pehelas. Again, how could you say on the Gatzavel, Havel, Avolim, Omar, Pehelas, Havel, Avolim, Amkod, Omar? How could you negate the world? Ayara, Lokibus, Lashiras, and Negate, Zayimare, the possibility of the kasha. Asir, and they obey. Still, the apostle commission, the one Rebbe Shalom did, which was all good. Tell me, I tell you later, as I said earlier, and then here we talk about the Havel Avodim, the entire Gehelis. But here also, the name Havel, so take a look at the name of Chai. I don't have it in front of me, but more or less, Eshal Smochalai, that's what he addresses, and a very, very, I think, to my mind, a very novel kind of way. I'll just end more or less this discussion by noting that instead of Chai absorbing the Tochach of Hashem Yisbarach and focusing the moral fleshlight on himself, he searches an excuse to deflect the charge that's hurled against him. And again, after killing Hevel, Hashem asked him, where is Hevel? Hashomer Ochi Anochi, the mind of my brother's keeper. What a statement. And he's cursed threefold, and ultimately he becomes a wanderer, becomes a vagrant. Nova notia baretz, hein gerashti osi hayom me'al pnei adama. As I said, that sense of rootedness that he had became completely undone, totally negated. That's the midrash of the Beidah, the Bar Seita, and that's exactly what happened here with Kayim. And essentially, he's now similar to Hevel, who had to wander. Now he's going to wander the earth. He's no longer connected to his moorings, and he has to find a way to do tshuva in light of that gruesome act. And as I said, there are many, many consequences to be derived from this, but I'll just mention the last one, which is the way that I'm trying to explain Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel connote two markedly different worldviews, two different hashkafas. Cain connotes a person who sees the materialism, and he wants to grab Kanisi, Lashon Kinyan, Kanisi Ish Es Hashem. Kana is the language of acquisition, and Hevel, and this is a bit what Rabbi Chaya says, he negates the material world. Essentially, from his perspective, everything is Hevel. Essentially, the material world is Hevel. Material world has no value whatsoever. That's really his mouth. By the way, Rabbi Abedel has also this discussion a number of times, and Rabbi Kassan Shlita just published, I hope, it's Hashem, very shortly, the Rabbi Abedel's parish on the Agadah Shel Pesach, Zeva Pesach. Fantastic. Rabbi Abedel doesn't need my Haskama, but I gave Rabbi Kassan my Haskama for whatever it's worth. Fantastic translation, and Rabbi Abedel is not easy to translate at all. Rabbi Kassan is a mumche in the Rabbi Abedel, one of his many areas of expertise. Anyway, so Hevel, that's basically what Rabbi Chaim says. Hevel negates the material world. That's how he understands the idea of Hevel. And he's focused on a more contemplative, ruchniistic, a spiritual kind of lifestyle. That's where he's at, that minimizes the world and its pleasures. That's his sub in our Ashkafa. And therefore, that's why the punishment of Cain, as Rabbi Chaim writes in the Parish Al Torah, that is tailor-made. The punishment of Cain is to teach him that the world's fleeting pleasures are transient. And it's akin to someone who wanders the earth and finds no solace, finds no respite whatsoever, no menucha. He starts constantly searching for materialism. And that ever recurring theme throughout Tanakh is accentuated by Shlomo Melech, that's Be'elus. I just gave you a nutshell of the Chai writes over here in the Parashat Torah. So let it be the will of Hashem that we take the heart, the eternal messages that are embedded in Bereishis and all its elements in Cain and Hevel. Let's build our lives revolving around that sof davar, kol hakim yirah, v'sof sof shemor, ki zeh kol olam.